And our reading today is from Mark chapter 11, reading verses 1 to 25. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." This is the word of the Lord.
I want to talk about this passage, mainly about the first part of the passage, with the help of Graham Kendrick, who many years ago wrote, make way for Christ the King in splendor arise, fling wide the gates and welcome him into your lives. And hopefully, there you go. The verses will arrive as appropriate on the screen behind me. It is the beginning of the most important week in the Jewish calendar. Pilgrims are traveling from far and wide, And now that the Sabbath is over, the journey will intensify on their way to the city of Jerusalem. There could be as many as 250,000 people who aren't normally there coming into that city. And they are making their way to the city as they come. The excitement is growing, for the celebration of the Passover is just a few days hence. In amidst that mix comes a particularly excited group, it seems, of people who are going before and going behind one who is riding a donkey and, I think, making very little noise himself, but just placidly, peacefully riding this donkey towards the city of Jerusalem. I want you to imagine that you were there on the day that Jesus rides into Jerusalem. What welcome do you give him? Do you welcome him with idle curiosity? You have nothing better to do, so why not spectate and speculate on his identity without commitment? Do you welcome him because of FOMO, fear of missing out? You see the crowd gathering, so you go to see what's happening. A crowd attracts a crowd. Do you welcome him with skepticism, doubting that the things you have heard about him are true, unless you see them with your own eyes? Do you welcome him with, well, apathy, wanting the things that you've heard about him to be true, but not actually doing anything about verifying the truth? Do you welcome him with outright hostility, not really a welcome at all? The welcome of many of the religious leaders of the day, perhaps standing back from the crowd and wishing that he was elsewhere and not threatening the status quo of your practice and belief. Or, like the disciples that go with him and many in the crowds that come running, do you welcome Jesus with shouts of joy, of Hosanna, of blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Perhaps you have gone through some or all of those things on your spiritual journey, the way in which you do or don't welcome Jesus. And maybe you still do. So I want to say that whoever you are, wherever you are at, know that Jesus wants you to welcome him into your life. On this day, around 2,000 years ago, Jesus rides into Jerusalem in peace, the greater son of David, the unifying king of Israel from 10 centuries before, the Messiah, the Savior, the rescuer promised from of old. Will you welcome him? Will you fling wide the gates of your life and welcome him? Make Way is a song by Graham Kendrick that became part of an annual March for Jesus in the UK, which spread around the world. It began in 1987 when 15,000 Christians marched through the streets of London, despite pouring rain, in praise and prayer. The next year, more than 55,000 people turned out. A year later, there were marches in 45 cities and towns around the UK. And in 1990, more than 200,000 marched in more than 600 locations around the country. Maybe one or two of you were there at one of those. Maybe we should go back to things like that. And to the days of the first March for Jesus, 2,000 years ago, with shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna. What does it mean that Jesus, though, is the Christ? Jesus is the Messiah. In Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 23, we find John the Baptist sending some of his disciples to Jesus to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus sends back his answer, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." I wonder who might be in the crowd all those years ago, offering their shouts of praise. Maybe the man who had been paralyzed, whom Jesus healed after his four friends lowered him through the roof of a house in Capernaum. Would have been quite a long way, a long journey from Capernaum to Jerusalem, one that would have been impossible for him to make until Jesus healed him. Maybe he's now been able to make the journey, not carried by friends, but walking on his own two legs. Maybe he has come to add his praises for what Jesus has done for him. What about blind Bartimaeus, who said to Jesus, "Rabbi, I want to see," and who was instantly healed by Jesus? Or the unnamed blind man at Bethsaida in Mark chapter 8, for whom healing was a two-stage process, but did come through Jesus. Perhaps the fact that it was a two-stage process, after part one he could see a little bit, but people looked like trees walking around. You might remember if you know that story. But after part two he could see clearly. But perhaps that's a reminder that whilst we nearly always want instant results, when we pray, healing often takes longer, may not come at all in this life. But were these two, who had previously been blind, were they in the crowd, adding their shouts for what Jesus had done, able to see, not just hear, what was going on? How about the man who was healed of deafness by Jesus in Decapolis of Mark 7? Might he have made the trip to Jerusalem for Passover and been in this crowd a few days before the Passover? Perhaps he sung out his praise and heard what he was singing for the first time, something beautiful for God. And what of the man who was released from his inner torture by Jesus in the Gerasene region? Now clean in the eyes of the law, he could participate in temple worship at last, and yet would have been welcomed by Jesus anyway, because that's what Jesus is like. And if not these, there would surely have been others, people not mentioned in the New Testament maybe, but whose lives were nonetheless transformed by Jesus. As verse 2 of our song says, "He comes the broken hearts to heal, the prisoners to free. The deaf shall hear, the lame shall dance, the blind shall see." Here's the thing. The Jesus who healed those people still heals today. And as we welcome him, he wants us, I believe, to ask for healing if we need it. "What do you want me to do for you?" was the question that Jesus asked Bartimaeus as he met this beggar at the roadside. "I want to see," said the man. "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Now, it's not about having sufficient faith so that if we work on getting more faith, we can boss Jesus into submission. I think it's simply about having faith. After all, Jesus said that even faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. And I don't know about you, but I take great comfort from that, because I know that often my faith is small, but it is there. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus says to us. He wants us to make our requests to him in faith and obedience and in submission to his will, knowing that if he does not give us what we want, it may be that he has something even greater with which to bless us. Who else might have been in the crowd that laid cloaks and palm branches on the road before Jesus? Perhaps the woman who touched Jesus as he was on his way to see Jairus' daughter. She had been subject to what the King James Version of the Bible delicately calls an issue of blood for 12 years. This was likely a gynecological condition. It could have come about through her giving birth and perhaps never properly healing. Or it might be something that just prevented the possibility of ever giving birth. Added to that, in the eyes of the Jewish law, she was ceremonially unclean, excluded from the worship that others could bring for 12 years. And beyond that, not only was she unclean, anyone she touched was ceremonially unclean. What a terrible affliction. In desperation, she reached out through the crowd to touch Jesus' cloak as people were pressing around him, and was healed. And Jesus, of course, realized that some power had gone from him, asked who was it that had touched him. Again, in her desperation, there was clearly a little bit of faith, and she was healed. I like to think that she was in the crowd as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, joyfully singing out praises. And maybe, it is speculation, I grant you, but maybe holding the gift of new life in her arms. And maybe Jairus, to whom Jesus was on the way to the house of Jairus when he met unexpectedly with this woman. Maybe Jairus and his daughter, who was raised from the dead by Jesus, maybe they were in the crowd. Now, full disclosure here, I have never raised anyone from the dead. This probably doesn't surprise you. I have to say, nor have I even prayed that anyone be raised from the dead. I mean, there is a time and a place for that, but as yet God has not presented me with that challenge. And yet, I am sure that I have known people, many people, who have been figuratively raised from the dead. From being dead inside. Perhaps we'll all think of examples. The one that came to my mind as I was preparing this sermon was that of a young woman called Rachel, who came along to the church that I was pastoring at the time. And she was, at the time we met her, a lovely young woman of faith. And as Wendy and I got to know her, she told us her story. Brought up in a Christian family, but suffering from a low sense of self-worth, she got into a spiral of alcohol and men, which took her down and down. How did she get back from that? I remember her saying that her mum had brought her to Christ twice, once through infant baptism, and that was followed by confirmation later on. And then, secondly, by keeping on praying for her daughter when she slipped into this spiral and seeing her come back to Christ through an Alpha course. And as Rachel told me her story, I said something like, "I can hardly believe that was you." And she smiled and says, "I can hardly believe it either. I was a different person then." And I thought, and maybe said, "Praise God who has brought you back from feeling dead inside to joy in Christ. And never, I think, have I found the next verse of Make Way truer than with Rachel. And those who mourn with heavy hearts, who weep and sigh with laughter, joy, and royal crown, he'll beautify. Rachel really had become a beautiful person, and she decided that the Lord was calling her to be baptized as a believer, that visible sign of dying with Christ and being resurrected to new life. And so we made that happen a few weeks later. And when, during our time there, Rachel moved away with her work, we sent her with a husband as well. There are times when you may have grieved because of the life you have or you have had. But with Jesus, you can begin again. He will welcome you if you welcome him into your life. Don't think there are conditions to that. Simply welcome him into your life and he will welcome you. And I want to say, really, is today the day to be more than just one of the crowd who might be looking on with varying approaches to that, whether with skepticism or just fear of missing out or the other things that I mentioned? Is today to be more than just one of the crowd and become part of the community of Jesus as a follower of him? Is today the day to commit to baptism or confirmation, both of which are options we can offer in our church here? If it's right for you, I'm sure we can make it happen. Even next Sunday, Easter Sunday. And what better day? If you're wondering where we do the baptism bit anyway, the answer is outside in the school playground. Just so you know. That has meant it's been a bit cold on occasions, but it won't be as cold as the November one that I remember. We're almost breaking the ice. But if God is speaking to you about that, give me a call or speak to me after the service or speak to someone here that you know and we can explore that. So we arrive at the final verse of Make Way. We are called to welcome Jesus, to make way for him. We're encouraged to ask for his healing. We are promised his comfort. Finally, we are challenged to worship him as Lord of all. We call you now to worship him as Lord of all. To have no gods before him, their thrones must fall. It can be easy to accept Jesus as Savior. Easy to welcome him, as did the crowds on that first Palm Sunday. It's much harder. Well, I've said that Jesus will welcome us if we welcome him. It's much harder, though, for us to worship him as Lord, because that demands total allegiance and devotion. And yet that is what he desires and requires. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 reminds us that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is total commitment from Christ for us through the cross. Will we offer our whole selves back to him? As Isaac Watts writes, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." As we journey through this Holy Week, I encourage you to welcome Jesus. Starting today, you can join us this evening if you like. Well, we'll be continuing with the kind of Palm Sunday theme, but also thinking about the other things I'm about to mention. Join us on Maundy Thursday, when we remember the Last Supper and share in the Lord's Supper, recommitting ourselves to Christ. Come along to the parish church on Good Friday at 10:15. I'm preaching inside the parish church this year. I think it's either Will or Opie preaching outside the old jail where we go for 11 o'clock. But come along there as we hear about the greatest love of God demonstrated through the cross of Christ. And then, of course, there is Easter Saturday where we'll not only will we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, not only will I be preaching, but we also have Kathy, as I've said, painting through the service. A visual representation of the story, and you could also be baptized or confirmed.